We're doing a series on walls at the moment. Matt did the introduction a while ago at the baptisms, and weren't the baptisms great? The series is from Ezra and Nehemiah, and it speaks of four important walls that as Christians we need personally and corporately in our lives. Week one, Karen dealt with our relationship with God, a particular wall that we need in our lives. Yeah. Week two was Donna and about our relationships with one another. That was last week. Next week is Matt dealing with our relationship with stuff. Love that word, stuff. You know, our relationship with stuff is next week. But I feel I've got the short straw again. Because I've got our relationship with the world, and especially in the area of, as we've been singing about this morning, being set apart. So a bit of background for just to make sure everybody's up to date. After 50 years of captivity in Babylon, groups of God's people, Israel, began to return to their homeland. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah record the return of three such groups of exiles to Jerusalem. As a summary of the two books, which incidentally in the Hebrew scriptures are actually one book. They don't have Nehemiah and Ezra, they have just the one book of Ezra and Nehemiah. So as a summary of the two books, Ezra, a scribe and priest, records the rebuilding of the temple, while Nehemiah, a leader, the repair of the walls of Jerusalem, in which the temple stood. In the book of Nehemiah, Ezra calls the people to return from their sins and to renew their covenant with God, their relationship, their binding relationship with God. However, there is another subject that's actually covered by both books, and that is the purity, or the setting apart of God's people. Many, over time, had intermarried with pagans, the heathen, and those who worshipped false gods, and compromised their holy relationship with God. At the introduction to this series, Matt likened the walls built around the temple and Jerusalem as four walls that we need built around us, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jerusalem, the church. At the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, these walls were in a sorry state, following defeat in battle and leading to years of neglect. Take a look at the church today, and you'll see some of its walls neglected and in a poor state of repair. No wonder the enemies got in, causing havoc, watering down the truth, and compromising God's people. Joyce Meyer, or Joycey as she gets called in our house, Joycey says, to compromise means to go a little bit lower than what you know is right. Just a little bit, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay, I'll say that again. Compromise means to go just a little bit below what we know is right. It's just a little bit, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Walls are not only put in place for protection, but also separation. Protection and separation are two sides of the same coin, or rather the same wall. Think of your home, its walls, both there for protection, but also separation. I love the protection that the walls of our home and the garden give us, you know, but it's lovely to be there sometimes and feel that separation, you know, oh, I'm home, you know, it's a beautiful feeling, isn't it? So yeah, walls are for protection and separation. Walls in our lives can work for good or bad. Good walls of protection and separation enable us to set healthy, balanced, and godly boundaries. And bad walls are a subject for another time. We're not going to go there. We're going to look at good walls today. Be honest, we want the Lord to protect us, but struggle to separate ourselves from those who lead us to compromise, and our fidelity to God can be a struggle. We hear the term today, my computer has been compromised. It means that someone has gained access to your personal domain, which is now defiled, corrupted, at risk of being manipulated, changed, and controlled by an outside source. All of us are faced with the dangers of compromise, making unholy alliances, ungodly unions, compromising ties with others. Not only through marriage, which was mentioned in Ezra and Nehemiah, but also under leadership, for example, in the workplace, or an allegiance to a cause or a group where we want to impress others and hang in there. And even committed friendships can be a place of risk, a place of compromise. The Bible says that we're to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. And that doesn't mean that we need to all run away and hide in a monastery or, you know, stay in my nice little safe place, you know, with my walls around me. I hear you say, but Jesus told us to go into the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? Yes, he did. But that's not always the reason that God's people go into the world. Hear me? Jesus prayed for us to be in the world, but not of the world. I'll say that again. Jesus prayed for us to be in the world, but not of the world. He wants us to be in the world, to reach out in truth and love to others, to be his witnesses, to see the lost found, the sick healed, the bound free, the broken made whole, to see his kingdom come, but not to become at one with this world. We are citizens of heaven, strangers and foreigners to this earth. We belong to God, and he calls us to be different, separate, and holy. And that can be costly and sacrificial. The main scripture for today from the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 6:14 to 7 and verse 1. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's one of the Hebrew words for the devil or Satan. There's a number of words, but that's one of them. So what harmony is there between Christ and the devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be my God and they will be my people. Therefore, God underlines this, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So what does it mean to be unequally yoked? Do you know what? When I first got saved, I wish these verses weren't in the Bible. Honestly, I found it really difficult. So what does it mean to be unequally yoked? Has anyone ever taken part in or even watched a three-legged race? Put up your hands. Have you ever been in a three-legged race? Most of you. You know what it's like, don't you? Yeah, anybody ever won? Oh, there. The winners will be the pair who can best move together in step. Unless, of course, one of the pair has a leg strong enough to drag their partner along the ground to the winning post. Also, and rarely seen today, think about animals ploughing, held together by a yoke. Again, it's not the strength or the size of the animals, but their ability to work together side by side and move in a common direction that gets the field ploughed. The implications of being yoked to another person is of such importance that Jesus uses the term to describe our relationship with him. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's no other way to walk with Jesus than to be tethered by the reins of his love into his yoke, walking step by step with him. It's a beautiful place to be. We hear a lot of talk, don't we, about walking in the presence of God, walking with Jesus. But to do it, we really need to be in a yoke with him, to learn of him. This is where the message gets even more difficult. Can I wear two yokes? Can I wear two yokes? Can I run with the hare and chase with the hounds? Can I walk with Jesus and do as everyone else does? Daily as a child, my mum would give me a spoonful of cod liver oil. Oh, terrible. Every day. Open your mouth. She'd give me this spoonful of cod liver oil. But, big but, followed quickly by a boiled sweet. And each would do its job. The cod liver oil would give me strong, healthy bones. And the sweet would take that foul taste, that fishy, oily taste of cod liver oil in my mouth away. I say, thank God for capsules. You know, you can get them down without the taste, can't you? Friends, this oil is difficult to swallow, but it's for healthy, strong, and holy relationships. And it's backed up by the sweet, sweet promises of God. I want to read that section from 2 Corinthians again now, but this time I'm going to read it from the Message. And there are questions that we need to honestly answer. So I'm going to pause, and I just want you just take a moment to answer this question within before God. So, this is from the Message. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? And now, the sweet, sweet promises of God. But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way: I'll live in them, move into them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. And then to seal the deal with promises like this to pull us on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. This message will be a can of worms for some of you. You may have become aware that you're not living any different to those who live without Jesus, that you're compromised and you need to take steps to repair the walls of protection and separation in your life. For some, you may be already in a committed and yet an ungodly alliance or relationship. You may already be in that. Be encouraged. The Lord will provide an answer for you and your particular circumstances if you are willing. If you are willing. I just want to share with you a couple of testimonies. One from a friend of ours and another of my own. Two very different situations and ended up in very different ways. But as you are faced with perhaps being aware of things in your life, your relationships with others that are right or wrong, can I say you need to get alone with God and ask him what he wants you to do, which way you need to go. Some of you have married and become Christians and you're still waiting for your partner to be saved. Get with God and say, Lord, please, please, this was part of your plan to save me within marriage. My partner, bring him or her into your kingdom. Just know that God's on your case. You might be single and, well, they're a moldy old bunch in the church, but my, there's some babes out on the streets. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's the way it is. You need to get alone with God and see what he's saying to you. What is he saying to you in the light of what's being shared today? So firstly, our friend some years ago, after training as a theatre nurse, was expected to take part in abortions. As a Christian and a pro-life supporter, she couldn't do it, and her job was on the line. She asked the Lord how, firstly, she could honour him, and secondly, how could she remain in the career that she was so sure he'd called her to? The Lord led her and strengthened her to appeal to the medical council. Her case was heard, and she was permitted exemption from all operations that compromised her faith. Praise God. That's her testimony, but just as a young girl in training, and she carried on to serve the Lord for many years and is still doing so. And then another testimony, and this is a personal one. In my single years and as a young Christian, I was moving slowly but surely towards a binding relationship with a man who was good and kind and caring, but not a Christian. He didn't share that part of my life. It was just everything, or should be everything, to me. And the day came when I prayed honestly about the relationship and said, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? This wasn't somebody who I'd picked up on the street or something. This was somebody who'd been a friend for years, and yet we'd just grown together, really. And there was a stage when we lived together, but as friends, you know, there was a whole group of us living together, but just in friendship. But it began to go, well, it was already in a man and woman's relationship. But looking at entering sort of commitments that would bind us into that relationship. We're looking at buying property together and so on. Good, kind and caring guy, but not a Christian. And when I prayed honestly about this relationship, the Holy Spirit said some really, really hard words to me. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Very serious words, very serious. And that was it. It wasn't easy. But I trusted the Lord not only for myself, but also for the man's future. Because God loved him as much as he loved me. But he wasn't living in that. I called the relationship off. And looking back, I'm so very grateful to the Lord because he had much better plans in store for my life. So to round up, how are your walls of protection and separation from the world? Can't have one without the other, you know. Oh, the devil's given me a bad time. You know, he's doing this, he's doing that, doing the other. What about your walls of separation? If he's getting in, how's he getting in? Because your walls are damaged. How are your walls of separation from the world? Are they in need of repair and strengthening? Or do you need the Lord to give you strength, wisdom, and guidance concerning an unholy binding alliance that you are in? Above all, do you know and love the one who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, the yoke of Jesus upon you, and learn from me, says the Lord, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Maybe you've come here today weary from your burdens and failures, feeling hopeless and helpless. Coming to church isn't enough for salvation. I want to say that, and I say it in love. Coming to church will not give you a place in heaven. Coming to church isn't enough. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior. Only coming to him. The church won't save you. Only Jesus can save you. The church won't take you to heaven. Only Jesus will take you to heaven. He's here waiting for you to come to him. He says, "Come on. Share my yoke, walk with me, and let's pull together." He says it to all of us. Come, share my yoke, walk with me, and let's pull together. Amen.